Okay, we'll just pray again. Father Yah, we glorify you as always, and we bless your name. We seek wisdom and understanding on today, and we just bless you in advance that you give it to us. We thank you for all the things that you do in our lives on a daily basis. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. As I was saying earlier, there's just so much going on. It's been happening pretty much since, since the trip to Florida. It's just like it's been one thing after another. Well, most of you don't know, we had another incident at the building on, all my days are coming together, on yesterday. And I had been just kind of feeling that there were some things that wasn't right and stuff like that. And so, long story short, some people entered, got on the property, went through the back window, and stole some power equipment and things like that, and drills and a lot of stuff. And so, when you look at it on the surface, you know, it has the potential to be very, discouraging, because we hadn't had anything that had happened in a period of time, and things are moving forward really well. And like our mama coach put it, you know, I was telling her about it. She said, you know, it seems like we're about turning this corner to get this thing where we wanted to be, and then this happened. You know, we had just talked about some things that, you know, we were going to do to the front entrance to give everybody a general idea how the rest of the building was going to look and things like that. And so, it had the potential to be very, discouraging. Elder was out of town. And, we got in a conference call to sit down and just talk about some things and see some ways that we can look to remedy some issues. And so, we need y'all support as far as that is concerned, because there are some cameras we're looking to buy that will aid us in some areas right now. And, like I said, any support y'all, do financially, we greatly appreciate it. But again, it has the potential to be very discouraging, because when you look at how we're doing things, we're raising funds as we go, we're trusting Yah, we're walking by faith and just believing Yah to get things done. And so when these type of things happen, we're not careful, it can make us think, man, what next, man? I give up. All these things has the potential to run through your mind. I got the phone call about a little bit before 7 yesterday morning. Because of the heat and stuff, they get out there at 7. And so I had called and told me what had happened. And so I went up there and, dealt with the situation. I was scheduled to go to Verdi's funeral at 11 o'clock. And so going to that at 11 o'clock, and then that happening at 7 o'clock, or the knowledge of it around 7 o'clock, and it just pushed, everything off. Didn't end up not getting to go to the funeral and things like that. And y'all was just showing me, I was thinking about, our family reunion that was in Arizona, and I was like, okay, y'all, I see now why you didn't put it in me to go. And it's just a lot of things I needed to deal with. And so, on yesterday, in dealing with those things and the meeting that we had, before, when I first got the information, the first thing I did was I looked to Yah. Because there's a law that I live by, that whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit. So I was like, okay, Yah, this seemed to be a step backwards, but where are you? What is your plan in this here? why am I not, you know, things are looking like I won't be able to go to this funeral service that I had, you know, wanted to attend. And I'm like, everything is purpose is happening right now. I just don't quite know what it is. But then the mindset that I have is just walk the path and, you know, not try to figure out each step I take, how it's going to be from taking those steps. I just walk in and just trust y'all in the process. But again, you know, I want to encourage you, and that's what this lesson is about. I want to encourage you to, no matter what you're going through, always seek for Yah's plan in what we're going through. And so when you hear this news initially, you know, all of you may be like, wow, man, this is, you know, we're putting money in this. We spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on this thing. And then here we go. And it's, you know, you're like, okay, it's like we take, again, like I mentioned, we take two step forward and look like it three step backwards. Well, looking at this thing now from the position of where we are now, and then knowing the what I was seeing on yesterday morning, sitting here today, it just kind of leave you dumbfounded. And it confirms what I said earlier, that whatever happens to us in life is always for our benefit. There are laws that I've mentioned. There's another law that I stand on is this. Sometimes Yah has to put his righteous in harm's way so that he can judge the wicked. Okay, I'm going to use my brother for an example. My brother, and I'm going to use Elder and myself. My brother and I are wicked. Okay, we're always hurting people, getting over on people, stealing from people. We're always doing this. He does it, I do the same thing. You know, so we have the same wickedness about us. Well, and I'm going to say it this way, for lack of a better way to put it. When y'all look at our wickedness toward one another, he wink at it. In other words, he don't look at it in a way to say, it's caught my attention where I need to move and deal with the circumstance. Because my brother's wicked and I'm wicked. And I stole, you know, I stole his car and you know, he broke my house, stole all my television and stuff and everything else he wanted to, you know, and stole my truck, you know. But we're wicked and we're stealing from one another, so it doesn't matter. So it comes a time when y'all say, well, I want to deal with the wicked, and the only way I can be fair with my just judgment, because what I do, it has to be righteous. The only way I can be just in what I do is I can't judge Lon because he's wicked. I can't judge Perry because he's wicked, based upon what they're doing to one another, because his wickedness doing it to wickedness. So he said, "Let me get Elder. Let me get Alan. Let me get Elder as the righteous, and I'm gonna allow them now to do some things to him so that I can deal with their wickedness." It is not the wicked who gets Yah's attention. It is the righteous who gets Yah's attention in certain circumstances. I remember one thing my brother said. He said, you know, which is true. He said, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. That is true. Sometimes we all in the same basket. No matter if you're righteous or unrighteous, we're all in the same basket. You know, you can look at scriptures and see where the prophet Ezekiel went into slavery too. He was a righteous man. He was a prophet. But yet, he went into captivity right along with the rest of our nation who operated in wickedness. And so, those are examples. You look at it where it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Well, there's another circumstance where Yah says, I'm not, this doesn't have my attention right now. But when I start paying attention to it is when I put the righteous, elder being an example here, in harm's way. And I have to do this so that I can bring about my just judgment. Because if I just judge the wicked being wicked to one another, you know, that doesn't manifest my righteousness. But what is right about you know, him punishing my brother Perry because of his wickedness, and I'm just as wicked as he is? Then that makes Yah, you know, something going on with Yah that is not justified. There's no justification. We're both cheating one another, and I stole his car and he stole my truck, and so there's no justification in dealing with me in reference to him, no justice in dealing with him in reference to me. So Yah creates circumstances. Well, we were the circumstance on yesterday. You had a whole community that was being terrorized by the people who got into our building. The whole community. Just being terrorized from what I ended up finding out. It had been going on for about 3 months. And they stole everything from you name it, from cars, you name it, they stole it. Even to the point to where when everything finally went down, they had a stolen car in the garage. Where neighbors were complaining to code compliance as well as the police department, and nothing was being done at the level by which it got done yesterday. Why? Because Yah said, I got one window I need you to break. And when you break that window, now you got my attention. Everybody else, and I'm not judging the community, I'm just saying everybody else, he was winking. He was winking. They'll do that little stuff. He'd be like, I see you. Let me wink at it. It hasn't moved yet. But when they crossed over that threshold of 1446 Connor Drive, Yah stood up and said, now you're on the right property. Now you finna do the thing that's going to cause me to bring the judgment. I've been hearing the cries of the people, but they ain't moved me. Now, when you break that window and you enter into that building, there's a cry that I'm going to hear and I'm going to move on it immediately. That's what happened on yesterday. Now, I was left dumbfounded because I ended up leaving. Like I said, happened. I started heading that way around about 7 o'clock yesterday morning. I didn't leave until about 9-ish last night. Because the community, here it is, because the community is recognizing that there's something, us, I'll say someone's if that's a word, they're recognizing that there's something in the community that they can truly depend upon. So Yah's setting the stage for what he's doing on Connor, and he's put. I heard this. I'm trying to think who's Tupac. Tupac, I think Tupac sung a song, "All Eyes on Me." Yah's setting the stage where he's saying, "I'm gonna put all eyes on y'all." So now people are coming, and I'm starting to get phone calls anytime something's happening on that street, and they're saying, okay, this is happening on the street, so what y'all going to do? What y'all going to do? So kind of bring this to a head. Once we got there, I called Mama Coach, like, okay, this is what's going on. They're in here again. They got in here again. They stole equipment. You know, my uncle was like, okay, what are we going to do now? I was like, okay, my mind is cloudy. You know, let me just kind of see which direction we're going to go to deal with this. Right now, and I was walking around trying to figure out how they got in. So once I got off the phone and just kind of, you know, got to myself and just walking and letting y'all deal with me, he said, come on, let me show you how they got in. Took me around and showed how they got in. Basically, we have a long lip. I call it a lip that goes down the building. It's just a little ledge. And they climbed up on it and climbed up on top of the gate, which made it lower, and got over and climbed back over. But what made them be able to do that is because they knocked out the cameras at the neighbor's house, who would have been right on top of that like they've always been. Pausing their dog, because the dog normally on top of it too. Anybody come down that little driveway, that dog is having a fit. So all the things that was in place to protect us and to protect them, y'all said, let me get that out of the way because I'm up to something. See how we see it? Let me get that out of the way because there's something that I need to do, and I need to let these events take place, and you know, because I want this to happen. One thing we have to learn is that rule that we live by, whatever happens to life is always for our benefit. Y'all is like, I want this to happen. So once he shows me, I walk down to the house. The house two doors down. You got the neighbor that always looking out for us next door to our driveway, and then you got the next house. I walk down to that house where there are some people. They get nervous because they see me walking out, and they come and get in the vehicle and wouldn't let down anyone and drove off. Well, you know, wisdom said, okay, they got some of the stuff in there and they trying to get away with it because, you know, police had pulled up, got the place around and waiting on bag up to go inside and all this kind of stuff. And I'm sitting up and like, man, I just go in. You know, nope, they let you go in. Man, y'all sitting out here, fuck you. Just let me go on in, you know. No. Nope. And so, long story short, I talked to the neighbor. She was really afraid, and she was talking about things that was happening, and she was talking about, well, you know, we may just have to move and stuff like that. It was like, you know, here I'm here with my girls, and you know, there are people over there in the house and stuff like that. I said, okay, wait a minute. So I'm making a few phone calls, you know, talk to Chief Moore, and then talk to Sergeant, you know, Casey. You know, these people, Yah is giving so much favor. Remember, all eyes on us as a ministry. Yah is giving so much favor that these top officers, you know, Avery being the chief, the assistant chief, and then I think getting ready to be chief the way this thing is going. And then this other, you know, officers, you know, as a sergeant, he's high ranking and things like that. And so these guys are giving me the phone number, like, you know, when something happens, if things not going right, call me directly. So I got to making these phone calls. Before you know it, they pulled up with about 10 cars and went in that house, man. They was trying to figure out legal ways to do it, because they said when they have no trespassing sign, they said we just can't go up in there, you know, because, you know, and they was like the power's on and things like that. So Alex said, yeah, the power's on because they got it legally hooked up. He said, look, that ain't supposed to be like that, you know. He said, TXU didn't do that, you know. Encore, nobody hooked that up. They hooked that up. So once they did that, they started looking at him like, okay, let's go check some stuff out. So they come back with 10 carload guys, go up in there, found not all of it, but some of our equipment. Took two guys to prison. It was about 20 people in the house. 20 stolen car in the garage, stolen moped in the garage, all types of stolen, you name it, pretty much was in that house. They had been running havoc in the neighborhood for 3 months. Now here's how we know it's Yah without a doubt. I know it's Yah, you know it's Yah, but I'm talking about without a doubt. We're going to take innocent or a person where say, well, man, we're going to take Dr. Thomas out of the church today. Okay. Once all that took place, police get all these people out of here. It was so bad, a guy came out in a wheelchair. They had a criminal folk in a wheelchair. They were so bad. And he was the ringleader from what I was hearing. And old women, you name it. It was, everything was in their house. It was about 20 people. At least. That's what I saw come out of there. And so, I left, came back home, got another phone call saying, okay, there's some people back up here. They boarded the house up. Officer tell me if anybody go in, we're going to arrest them on the spot. Now, instead of them calling 911, they call me. I'm 911 now. All eyes on us. Y'all sitting at stage and building up a trust where that community is starting to depend on us and we not even fully there yet. Y'all got to see what y'all is doing. So they call me. I go back up there. As soon as I get there, this two officers are there searching the place out. Then there is a truck pulls up and start bagging in. I'm like, what is going on with this big old truck, man? I'm like, drop this big trash bin off in front of the house. Then another truck pulls up, BMW pulls up, lady gets out of it. And so I'm like, who are y'all? The guy said, I just bought the house today from an auction. I said, okay, what was the auction now? He said, the city of Dallas. He said, I just bought this house today in auction with the city of Dallas. It was about $30,000 back taxes, but he probably got it by 8 or 10. And so he said, I just bought the house, taxes, and we finna clean it up. That's why I'm putting the trash bin in front of the door. We're just going to bring everything out and just clean it up. He said, I don't know what's in it. You know, I just bought it and came here this evening to start seeing what I got to do to it. Said, boy, if you had got here a couple of hours later, you had about 20 folks to deal with. I said, we just got them out of this house and got it all boarded up like it is before you made it here. Now, think about that. They come. The burglary took place because the neighbor said she went to bed about 1:30. Everything was fine. So between 1:30 and 6-ish, they did that. A few hours before somebody is coming to take complete possession of the property and put them out anyhow. Then he was like, I only got a few hours. Let me go hit that place I really want to stop. A few hours, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation. But y'all was like, no, they finna get out of here. But I got to judge them, though. They've done some stuff to this neighborhood, and I'm not going to let them get kicked out of the neighborhood without me dealing with them. Think about that, y'all. Y'all put us in harm's way a few hours before the owners was going to come in and put them out anyhow. Put us in harm's way so that he could judge those people.
Okay, and it could be to protect the owners that was coming in, too.
That's exactly what that's exactly.
He didn't know those people.
That's exactly what it was.
I was nothing about nothing.
About
them being in the house.
All he did was standing on the doorsteps of the city and bought that house not even knowing what was going on with it. And didn't know he was coming to all that. Like I said, he probably would have got hurt. Him and his wife probably got hurt because it was just those two and another guy. Mm-hmm. I said, man, we just got 20 people out of here. And they had drugs, they had all kinds of stuff. It's so bad, when I was up there today, this guy that was one of the workers that was cleaning out the house, he said him and his wife went to lunch and came back and six more people were in it again.
Wow. Maybe they were selling out of the house.
I don't know what they was doing. He said they were in there again. He said, in that short period of time, they left and went to lunch. I said, man, these people sitting around watching y'all. That's how messed up the minds of these people are. And they were terrorizing the neighborhood. So I just started talking to people. They were like, yeah, my car kept getting broken in. Yeah, they kept stealing this. One guy was like, I had a generator outside on a dolly, and it was gone. And I happened to be passing by the house and saw my dolly in the yard. All kinds of stuff. And so they had been terrorizing the neighborhood for 3 months and we didn't even know it. And so y'all said, okay, last day, they're getting ready to get out of here. But as you pointed out, that's what it was. I gotta send y'all as the protection of the community to deal with this here so that the community now can start looking. We got somebody here who can deal with this here. there's an organization that's not going to let us be pushed to the side. Because people kept coming up to me saying, I've been calling for months now, making the same complaints. Here you call one day and they come in here. They say, I've been calling about that car in that garage for months. Telling them it's stolen. Say, you make one phone call and all this here is taken care of in one day. One guy said, you the man. I said, well, I got a whole bunch of men and women coming with me. We going to straighten out some stuff around here. This is what's going on. So he allowed that to take place with us. And it didn't set us back because they didn't do any damage to the building whatsoever besides just breaking the window out and stealing some of the equipment. And we've already replaced that, you know, the majority of the equipment is still moving.
Yeah, go ahead, yo. The window that we put in that we were already talking about replacing. Yeah. It went like it was.
They just demoed. They did a demo for us. We were going to take it out of there. So I'm saying this to say that. We are what this city needs. Not just that community. We what this city needs. Police officers are looking at me because, well, I'm not finished. Then we're going to get to the scripture. So I come home. I'm tired. Been gone since 7 that morning. Then get back home about 9-ish. Fall asleep. Phone ring 1 in the morning. Pastor? The dog's barking in the backyard. I think somebody may be in that house again or may be at the building. Okay. I'm on my way. I get up there and that dog feels a little bit better now. His bark is really, but he barking now. He let him know. Yeah, I mean, you can bring him. You know, so. And so I got there 1-ish this morning. And so when I pull up, I got the lights on the truck on and I unlock the gate. And when I unlock the gate and go in, I guess now the neighborhood is scared. Like, okay, wait a minute. Somebody's on church property now. I go around with a flashlight looking, nothing is bothered. And I'm walking back around, all of a sudden I see all these lights coming toward me like this. Police is coming up on me. I got my gun, so I just put my gun down because I know how it works. You know, Black Lives Matter, I know how it works. So I put my gun on the ground. When I put it on the ground, and, you know, they had the lights on when they got out. I said, I'm the owner. They said, can we see some ID? You know, because of the license to carry, I always have to give them both. When you give your ID, you have to give them both when you license to carry. So here's my license, and I'm also licensed to carry. They said, well, where's your gun? I said, I just put it on the ground back there. I'm trying to keep me and you safe. He said, you know what? I appreciate that. He said, go get your gun. Put it back on your holster. He said, you ain't got to leave it on the ground.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Why do they have to carry the little badges when they have the open carry? I don't understand.
It's a license.
Is that what that is?
It's actually like a license to carry. License.
If you want to drive, you got to present proof that you have the right to drive.
So that little badge is like a...
If I'm walking around with a gun on my hip out in the open or concealed, and they come up on me, I need to show, just like he said, I have the license to carry this way. Other than that, I'm carrying it illegally. In Texas, you can have it open, but when you conceal it, if I've got it under my shirt, you know, because I got holsters where I can conceal it. You don't even know I have it. And so I have to have a license to conceal it like that. And to carry it in my car concealed and things like that. So when it looks, like I would say, exactly like a driver's license, it just says license to carry on that.
I mean, I've seen some people with the open carry, but they have the badges. They're not police officers or anything like that. But they have badges.
Some of them probably just have it on there just as another form of identification. Security. I don't know. Yeah, a form of security or identification. Some of them may do that like that. I probably could do that and it ain't going to change nothing. But then you may have, like Tony mentioned, security, because they may be saying, okay, I'm licensed to carry, let you know, don't mess with me. You know, I got something to handle you if you mess with me. So that may be why some people wear it. I don't know. Because they had even asked me to consider becoming a volunteer police officer where they give me a jacket and a badge. And And so, but I, you know, I have
not to get jealous. I didn't mean to get jealous.
No, that's okay.
That's
okay.
That's kind of. Okay.
Yeah, it's some people just do it, and so once that takes place, then they go over to check out the house, and it was just two of them. But man, y'all be in prayer for the officers. I know people always talking about, you know, they do this and do that, but I'm talking about we really short on officers, really short, and it's bad. This is like a war zone. We really short. It was just two of those guys. And so when they went to check out the house, I just told them, I said, hey, well, I'm going to stay here and bag y'all up. And they was like, we appreciate that. I said, you know, it's just two of y'all. At least we got a couple of, you know, I always say I got 17 people with me, you know. Say, you know, because my gun clip holds 17 bullets. So I'd be like, you know, we got a couple of people with us now with the three of us, you know, so we can deal with some stuff. So they appreciate that kind of stuff. And I just try to work with them as much as we can. Now, I say that to say this. Now, we now have all eyes on us from those officers, too. There's a respect there that makes them even want to see this place get finished. Go ahead, Em.
And it's going to make some stuff that we want to do seem genuine, right? So even in our plan, we have lounges for our officers and things like that. Now, we're establishing a relationship with those guys even before all that stuff comes to fruition. So when it happens, it's going to be something that's authentic, that's not anything that was forced.
Yeah. Even one of the officers showed up last night, and he was like, hey, Pastor, when y'all going to get this place finished? He said, I was up here a little while back, you know, and stuff like that. I said, we almost there. I said, but every time we get there, this here happened, you know, kind of deal. And so he was like, okay, we just going to keep doing what we got to do to, you know, help y'all get it done. And so there is starting to be a relationship in a big way with the community before we get there. You know, we're not there yet fully. And y'all setting that up because once we get there, everybody going to be coming to that place because they know it's a safe haven. We come here because we know we're going to be protected. We know we don't have to be concerned because this ministry has been doing it all along and they've been fighting for us. And everybody kept coming up to me yesterday and was like, we've been trying to do this for months and you get it done in one day. Well, y'all got it done in one day because he's the one brought about the judgment. You know, my grandson Joshua could have got that done on yesterday because y'all is the one who's the sword. He could have been a tool to get that done on yesterday. And so, you know, so I'm saying all those things for us to understand. Look at that when it initially happened and the way things were looking and then come to where we are now to see all those events took place. I was like, y'all, you're a bad dude, man. Just awesome, man. You know, and we still moving forward. Go ahead.
So I've come to this understanding, and it works that way even in our own personal lives, right? When you become mature in the things that Yah, or you are maturing in the things that Yah is doing, he'll allow things to happen to you for somebody else's benefit. Yeah. Right? And you got to be discerning enough to realize this ain't got nothing to do with me, right, per se.
Right.
This is something that Yah is using me to deal with the circumstance. Mm-hmm. But don't get discouraged if something happens to you.
Right.
Because it may not even be about you.
Right.
But because you are at a level where Yah can allow it to happen to you, he will.
Right. And so just to piggyback on that, and that's a good point. So it's like this: what they were going through in their neighborhood, they couldn't bear it. To the point to where people were telling me, I was about to sell my house and just get out of the neighborhood. But y'all said, let me put my righteous in harm's way because they can handle it. They're not going to get discouraged and start to want to move out of the neighborhood. Let's just sell the building, man. We're tired of this. We start coming with solutions. We start having meetings, emergency meetings. They're out of town. Okay, look, we need to talk. We need to get together and talk and start getting a handle on what we need to do to address this because we still got some stuff to do. So where other people were getting discouraged and talking about moving out, y'all said, y'all are able to handle it. y'all want to start looking at ways to deal with the issue instead of like some of these people are doing, just say, I'll just sell my house and move. No, they, where you going? Who's going to buy the house? And all this stuff is over here being dealt with. Who's going to buy your house? You're not gonna sell it probably for what you bought it for if we don't make changes in this neighborhood, like the changes we made on yesterday. And so that's what Elder was referring to. He put us in harm's way because we were handling it. Some people couldn't handle it. They was about to, that lady next door was about to have a nervous breakdown. I'm here by myself with my kids, and my husband is just frustrated and angry all the time because he having to leave me to go to work, and I'm laid off, and I'm here, and these folks are just right across here, and I don't know what they may do. So y'all said, let me take care of this, and I'm going to take care of it in one day. They've been crying out for 3 months, so I got to put the right people in harm's way so that I can deal with this. And I know the right people that I put in harm's way, they're not going to get discouraged. We on the phone talking about solutions while all of it was going down. Didn't even know the outcome. We were still talking about solutions. We ain't quit. We're not giving up. We still focused.
And it's funny. It wasn't even like there was even a thought.
It wasn't even a thought.
I mean, it's, even in the discussions that we had, it was never a matter of discouragement or what we going to do. No, right. We just going to make a plan for what we going to do.
Right.
Wasn't like we were, you know, anything but that.
Right. And so that community see that. They have complete confidence in us as a ministry. The trust is there, and they're saying, you know, a lot of even the officers, the community is like, we can't wait till y'all get it open. We're going to be there. We can't wait till y'all get it open. Y'all standing up for our community, and we just know when y'all get in the building fully, it's going to get even better and better. That's the mindset of the neighborhood. And so, I'm 911 now. So y'all be proud for me because they don't tell me when I may get a phone call.
I told you you was the sheriff.
Yeah, you did. You know, so I used to just, you know, turn a ringer down, and now I just keep it on now because I'm like, okay, somebody going to call. They're not going to call 911. They're going to call me. That says a lot. That says a lot. And from that mindset, my mindset is, okay, I got to present myself to them in that manner because that's how they see us. So I got to be what they need. Yeah, I'm tired, I don't know what, but I got to be what they need me to be.
It's for a season.
Yeah, it is.
For you to become the face of this thing, which you are.
It is.
But it won't always be just you.
That's correct. Because once we get there, then they have a host of us now to come to, and I can be like, hey, call him, I'm fishing. You know, call the other number, I'm fishing. You know, type of deal. And so I want you to understand from this standpoint. When I say they need me, you hear yourself too. So when I say they need me, they need us. That's what they need. They need us. They really do. So we'll be coming from Matthew chapter 18, and we're just going to read this here, and you know, I'm just going to shut it down on time. Matthew 18 verse 1 said, it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Yehoshua, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Yehoshua called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. We'll look at the word converted. Verse 3. Except ye be converted. It means the base, 51, 57. It says to twist, turn around, reverse. So when we look at converted, it's a complete reversal. I'm going this way, I turn around and start going this way. Except ye be converted now. Except ye be converted and become as a little child. Now, all of us have relationship with little children. How are little children? What is the mindset of a child? doing things their way.
Playing all the time.
No cares.
No cares.
Playing all the time.
In other words, they'll do things their way, but then at the same time, what happens when we guide them? When they're doing it the wrong way, we guide them the right way? What are some other examples?
They easily follow instructions.
Easily follow instructions. You know, my grandkids, I can put them on top of the house and be like, jump, because Papa said jump. They gonna fly off. They ain't trying to figure out if I'm gonna catch them. Come on, Zora, jump, Papa. Okay. So the children are very trusting. They have no cares. And so when you look at the mindset of a child, yes.
They ain't trying to psychoanalyze everything and determine why and who and who done it and all this kind of stuff. Will this work out for me in the end and all the kind of stuff that we do as adults?
No concern whatsoever. No concern whatsoever. They're not trying to figure out if life's going to be on when I get to the house or nothing. They have no concerns whatsoever. Christ says
they
to the...
You know the
adult. Who said... I didn't hear that. Say it again.
They depend on the adults.
And so when you look at the mindset... When you look at the mindset of a child, Christ says, except our mind is that way. First thing the disciples said, who's going to be the greatest? Well, he said, if you're going to be the greatest, you got to have a mindset of a child in the kingdom. So when that incident happened, we turned to children. We turned to children and started looking to Yah for all the things that was necessary in order for us to overcome this situation. We start allowing Yah to deal with us and to keep the focus there. And so he's saying in verse 3, except you be converted and become as little children, ye should not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yah want people who the best way to describe a child with one word is humility. And one word, if you can just find one word, because they have no cares, they you know, they may do little things, but when it really comes down to it, they can be guided, they're trusting, all these little things, so they allow you to grab their hand and just lead them. Not concerned where you're taking them. That's a humility perspective. That's why verse 4 says it now. He says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of Yah. So when you look at it from that the mindset of the child is not looking for greatness. Yah just identifies what it is. So anybody that's looking to be great, they'll never be great. But if they have the mindset of a little child, y'all say you're headed to greatness. If you allow me to lead and guide you on a daily basis and deal with you in a way, in the same way that a little child is dealt with, he said, I guarantee you'll be greatness. Because they asked the question and he put the child, he was like, ain't none of y'all headed to greatness right now. Here's how you get there. This little child is not concerned about nothing y'all just mentioned. Greatness is a mindset that deals with humility, that allows Yah to use and to stir them on a daily basis and whatever happens in life. Just like the little child, you know, when I was leaving the house, Zora wasn't concerned. She's a child. Well, the building got broke in. I love you, Papa. Give me a kiss. She wasn't concerned. Baby, I got to go. I was like, baby, I got to go. The building been broken. Okay, Papa, give me a kiss. I ain't care what you got to do. Just give me a kiss. I ain't concerned about nothing but this kiss. Just give me a kiss. Give me what you always give me. I don't want nothing else. You know, and part of that process of allowing Yah to to deal with the circumstance is I felt like it was most important to go to a funeral service on yesterday, and y'all was like, no, most important thing to do yesterday was your community. To the point where I know you love that brother, and I know that brother loved you, but what's most important to me is this community. And I need you to humble yourself and not leave and go to that service, but I need you to sit right there and be there for those people. Be the strength for those people. So I had to send a text to Pat, like Pat. I sent a picture of all the police cars and text said, hey, you know, I'm going to try to make it, but it's not looking good. You know, she texted me back about late last night and said, you was there in spirit. I was there in spirit. And so it was kind of one of those situations where, you know, I have to use the scripture in reference to it because that's what it said. Y'all was like, okay, let the dead bury the dead. You are called to be there for your community. That's why I have y'all there as a ministry. They need you more than your brother needs you. His life is done. They need you more than his wife needs you. Your community needs you. That's why I have you as a ministry on this street, and I need you to represent your community today. Deal with all these sergeants, these lieutenants. Deal with all these people, and let the community see we have somebody that's willing to stand for us. That's what that was about on yesterday. But I had to humble myself as a little child and say, okay, I can't do what I want. You know, even Attitude turns, bro, you know, you got to go to the funeral, man. And he said, you know, just go and just go ahead and go, man. I'll try to. I said, no, man, I can't go. Y'all is not, he's showing me that this is not the time to be leaving right now. I need to stay. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, here's the thing about it. I want to say this. I have no doubt that we're headed for greatness. But the reason why we're headed for greatness is because we're not looking for it. I never was concerned about preaching all over the world. I never was concerned about being the head of my community. I never was concerned about even preaching. All the things that I wasn't concerned about is what y'all made me. That speaks for all of us. The very thing that we're consumed with is the thing that y'all is saying, you'll never be great in that area. But when we become as a little child, just seek him and let him lead and guide us, all the things that we're not concerned about because our focus is just like Zoe, Papa, just give me a kiss. I'm not concerned about nothing else. Every morning when you get up, because she get up before everybody. She just do. I don't care what time you get up, pretty much Zoe gonna be up. Watching TV, eating a bowl of cereal just to fix everything herself. You know. But the first thing she want out of me when she see me is a kiss. Hey, Papa, and a kiss. And if I don't give her a kiss, she gonna make me stop. She gonna keep holding them lips out and walk my arm in until I give it to her. That's all she's concerned about. We're headed for greatness because we're not concerned about it. Y'all's like, I find me a people that all they care about is people. They don't care about themselves. You know, we're not trying to do this so we can drive Rolls Royces and buy mansions and all that. And y'all may bless us with them. But that's not what we're looking for. Same thing with Solomon. Solomon like, I just want to lead your people. Okay, I'm going to bless you with wisdom to do that, but I'm going to give you riches untold in a nutshell because you wanted to just lead my people. Greatness. So that's what he's doing now. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. That community is receiving y'all because we the little children that he's sitting that he has sent there to let our light shine. So y'all said they're embracing the ministry, so they're embracing me. Y'all finna bless that whole area. He's going to bless those people. He start with that street and he's going to spread it abroad. Verse 6, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That's what those wicked people received. When they came after Yah's little ones, Yah said, oh, now, man, if you saw the shock of those people when all that happened, they was like, man, we had this going. And one day it all falls apart. And they know why. Because we went and robbed that building 2 doors down. When we robbed the building 2 doors down, everything fell apart. And we sitting here at a daze because we had this going for 3 months. Lights on, water on, everything is running. They even had internet, Wi-Fi and all. The police officer, they had security cameras out there. That's how well they were doing on that street. And they were standing there at a daze and sitting there looking at me. And I'm standing there looking at them like, yep, we just the little ones, that's all. They were at a daze because Yah brought down their system and their judgment in one day. They stole from us between 1 and 6 o'clock, and by 3 o'clock p.m., all of them were standing outside at a daze trying to figure out where they was going to go from now. To the point to where they were so attached to their play that they kept coming back because they didn't know where to go.
So they didn't have the right to be in that house to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They were squatters, basically.
The first owner died. The relative inherited the house. That relative died. Taxes got behind on it. They just moved in there and just said, we just going to do what we want to.
No rent, no utilities.
Nothing.
Squatters.
Turn everything in. Even the water department came up there and said, y'all not supposed to have this water on. That's what God told me today. See, y'all not supposed to have this water on. Turn the water off, shoot. They left, they turned the water right back on. They didn't care. That's how bold these people were. We're going to turn the electricity on, and we're going to turn the water on, and when you come back and turn it off, we're just going to turn it right back on. That's the mindset of all those people that was in there. And Yah said, I'm going to put the right folks in your way. And that's what he did. And I wanted to share that with y'all to encourage y'all, for all the things we've done thus far. You know, y'all been a part of it. And I want y'all to really see and understand where we're going and what y'all is doing with us. You know, and so I wanted to encourage you with this information on tonight. We're going places, y'all. We're headed toward greatness. Because we approach Yah as his little children. That's why. So I just wanted y'all to know that. Last little thing before I close. Yah brought it back around. Got a phone call about 10-ish. Our bank's manager said, hey, Lon, what you doing? I said, nothing. We doing some work at a house, fixing a pipe for a lady to get her gas turned on, and then we headed back to the building. He said, I want to come by. So I just want to come by and look at the project and things like that. I was like, okay. And so, I called Mama because like, okay, this bank, our bank want to come by. And I don't know why they want to come by. you know, what they want, We kind of entertained some things, but we didn't really approach them with nothing serious, And so I got off the phone with her, and I said, well, they're here, the guy's here. Well, once I opened the gate, the vice president of the bank was with it. Okay, y'all, think about this. Where do vice presidents of a bank come to your?
They don't waste their time if they ain't.
Especially when they already know who we are.
Thank you.
They already know it's us.
Not no manager, not no regional manager, the vice president of the bank was in that car. So I called Mama Coza, because I met him before. I called Mama Coza. Mama Coza, I said, the vice president is in this car with this man, with the manager of the branch. I said, I'll give you a poke. I'll give you an update to you when this is over. So they toured the building. They were like, wow. That guy said, he said, y'all gonna make millions. The vice president. He said, because I was just telling the plan, he said, the plan that y'all have, you're gonna make millions. I said, well, since you know we're gonna make millions, then we have no need of anything that's gonna make those millions be coming to you. So you gotta make us off. See, you are here because you need us.
You want the millions going through your bank? Might ought to help us out right now.
Y'all, I'm telling y'all, boy, y'all making us into something. I'm telling you. I said, you come here and bring the vice president because you know we the cats meow. You know we the top dog in the fight. So you get your vice president and bring him to the building because y'all been watching us for these period of years and y'all saying this organization is going somewhere. We can see their potential. And then we looked at their plan. This organization is something that we know we got to try to latch on to. So it was like, well, Lauren, sit down and decide what you want us to do. We can work up some deals and things like that. I said, no, y'all sit down and decide what y'all want to do, and then you come to us and make an offer, and we'll sit down and look at that offer and decide if that's what we want to do. I said, because here's the thing. Whatever we decide to do, if we decide to do it, we don't want to be able to miss a month and think you're going to come around the corner and take this building. So that's out of the picture, first of all. So anything you do, it is not going to be, this building is not going to be collateral. I'm going to let you know that up front. So you figure out what you need to do to keep all the millions coming to your bank. That's how I talk to him today. Well, okay, Lord, we're gonna go back and sit down and look at some things and see what we could try to figure out, you know, ways that we can assist y'all on this. Well, you could assist us way back then, but now you come here, you see this potential, you see how far we've come along.
They couldn't see the vision before.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, my project manager, you know, kind of disappointed in y'all because she wanted y'all to come a little bit later so she could have all this part finished to show you where we're headed. I said, we're not cutting no corners on this thing. He said, I can see. He said, I can see y'all not cutting any corners. And y'all are doing this and you have an excellent plan. He said, I can see, but it's just gone. I know you can. You the vice president. You come here. You getting your suit dirty up in here. You all dusty. You can't come out there dust all on their shoes and everything, you know, because they've been doing some sanding and it got dust in the building. We hadn't cleaned it up yet. But they walked through all that, you know, dust and stuff and was just grinning because they was like, man, this is awesome. And each time I'd show them something and tell them what we were doing, they was like, wow, man, y'all carefully thought this out. Yeah, y'all gave us the plan.
Well, just be prepared. I'm sure the president will be showing up.
He gonna hear the same conversation. Look at him, bro. What kind of check you can write that we ain't gotta pay back? You know, so keep everything lifted up in prayer. Two things that I want to share with you before we close. I want to keep the project moving, so I continue to need y'all financial support, all of you, because I want to keep it moving because of what happened on yesterday. I believe that if we stop for any reason, then it'll just create an opportunity for somebody to go up there knowing that nobody's there. But you got guys up there every day. That keeps it moving. Plus, you have other people who are coming, taking a look, trying to see what they can do. And we want to finish this thing. We want to finish it. We need to finish it. The community needs us to finish it. And all of you that have supported and continue to support it, it's, you know, it's going to be a blessing to all of us. It really is. And I kid you not, just kind of come up there when you get a chance. We try to keep, you know, a lot of activity from being stirred around. We don't want to draw attention. But just kind of get in the neighborhood, just start asking around a little bit. What you think about what they're doing down there? They'll tell you, these people will tell you. They'll tell you how important we are. Okay. So, but that's all I have. You have anything else? Anybody? Yeah, we all good? Okay. Let me pray. Father, y'all, we just bless your name. We thank you for just giving us this lesson and to encourage us with the fact that your hand is upon us, even when you allow us to go through things that are difficult and challenging. You always have a purpose. And when we get on the other side of that challenge, we can see that your hand was there all along, guiding us through it. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.